Okay. Compliance with the open meeting law.
Yes.
Yes? Approval of agenda. Any changes?
I move to approve with the...
Dan approved, wants to make a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Dave seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Approval of minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
I'll second.
Okay, let's see. All those in, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Passed. Public comment. Any communication? Any public comment?
We got walls going up.
I...
There's some verticalness to the...
Anything more on that? If I remember right, didn't he talk about the fact that a lot of it will be there by the end of the month?
Yes, we should have the precast, 22-foot precast walls should be coming in by the end of next week. So we should have a big crane out here, and you'll see some more of that going up for the jail.
Is this the 12 or 14-inch walls?
Probably, because it's the jail. They're trying to get the jail done as much as they can so they can kind of get that enclosed, because that's where the work will need to be done. And then apparently ours will go up really fast at some point. But I asked the architect if we were behind, and he said only a couple days and mostly on paper. So he said they're basically right on track to...
What is your finish date as far as ADS?
It targeted is December, December 2018, but I don't know. Brad thinks potentially they could be done maybe a little bit earlier than that. That never happens.
So some of us won't get to go to the new building.
Well, I think you can still come up.
These are open meetings. You can visit, you know.
Or there are other ways to get to the new building. I don't recommend those.
You know, better this one than the one we got in basketball.
This is true. We'll definitely have an open house, so we would hope that you would come back for it. So, yeah, I don't know. There was some talk then, too, whether they would even allow us to, because there was, Brad had thought originally that social services and ADRC could move into the new part while the jail was still being kind of worked on, but now there's some discussion whether that could happen or not happen, so I guess we'll see closer to that.
Is the plan when that's done to tear this building down?
It is eventually, yes. I don't know in what timeline that will occur.
How about the light building? Is that going?
That has not been decided upon, I don't think. So I just know
there's been talk about where they may move it. And so I kept thinking, well, that kind of sounds to me like it's going to be taken down or used for something else.
I don't think it's even really been discussed. Do you think, Dan? I don't.
What building?
The other brick building that's out here. We call it the light building.
It used to be the laundry.
They do some food pantries every so often out of it. Yeah, I think informally they've talked. I don't think there's anything in the works on that one. So that will probably depend on how construction comes in everywhere else. You know, whether we're
a wrecking ball
on budget. I would like to do the wrecking ball for this building. At least this side of this building.
Stand in line and give her a big...
Yeah.
That could be a good fundraiser.
Yeah. That's a fundraiser.
No kidding, it was. But
for
no,
all the people that had to work in this building. Well,
one of the guys that is out here, what is it? Is it Gary or Greg? Gary, something. He's worked with you in PT. I'll have to talk to you about that. Now he's doing construction. But the jail will have like a 2-month transitional period. So I do think we will be in before the jail, because they can't just move them over and hope everything works good. Hope the doors don't open like they did in our prison.
Last call was interesting. Last night there for a little while.
That did happen. So they do have a 2-month, I think it's like a 2-month transitional something.
Those are the kind of things you'd like to have happen, though, when doors open, because that's a learning experience. You bet. Yeah.
You learn you don't want to have that happen too many times. So I do think we will be in probably before, but I, you know, I'm not sure how that'll all work. So, but we're making progress, and that's good. So,
okay. Anything else on public comment? Hearing none, we'll go on to six, advocacy report. The regional board.
I wasn't there because it was the day before our Elder Fest.
And I didn't make it either because it was my...
Pretty much discussed, or we just, it was the public comment thing. We just, there was three or four people there that had comments, and we discussed their issues with them. That's pretty much what.
Were they pretty similar to the ones from
Monroe? Yes, mostly
from
people, it comes back to the same thing. People just don't understand or know much about ADRC. Until they're in dire need.
Until they need us.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't know it's there.
Are they still working on getting a guy from Johnson's? I can never pronounce his name. From Johnson's office to come. What's his name?
Tossett.
That's him.
Tossett.
He's been there before to really hear. So that we want our legislative people to understand what the
Yeah, he comes out periodically.
I don't remember him talking
about that.
This is what they're trying. They have to get ADRC, and we do too as well, have to document like unmet needs that we hear from people. So that's what they're trying to get at from the public. We did it at Elderfest. A little tricky. We asked questions at Elderfest. We had people do the Plinko game. And then they had a set of, there was four questions, and they got a question. And then if they answered the question for us, then they got to go and win a prize. So.
I was planning on going, and I got hit with jury duty.
So we, and I meant to say that in public comments, we had over 300 people attend Elderfest. So even though the weather was not cooperative very well for us, we still had a pretty darn good turnout. So we were very happy. It's about the same as last year, so... So we're kind of staying even. So I thought the way the weather was that we would have a drop off on that day, but we got into new bags that we didn't have counted. So we know we went through the 300 bags, and then you ran out and we think we gave out about 30 some more bags. So we think we actually gave out 330 bags, but we had 301
signed in. Well, I think that's probably one of the biggest ones around this area.
It definitely is.
For attendance.
Yeah.
People talk about it for weeks and talk about it for weeks after.
Yeah. The other ones get like 100, you know, to 150 maybe, but we definitely have a... And I mean, the flow I thought worked really well.
Yeah.
People liked it. People liked the door prizes. They got to pick a dog. What's that?
They didn't have to go looking for anybody.
We did not. We got the only problem we had is we need to make people a little more aware. We know like four people walked out that didn't find their door prize thing in their bag. They didn't look. I fully expected them to call us the following week, but we didn't get any calls on it, I don't think. So next year we will just make sure that they know to look in their bag, and I think we'll do a bigger sheet of paper on it. We had a piece of paper in their bag that said you're a lucky duck, and then if you take it to the ADRC table, then you got to win a door, and then you got to pick a duck and win a door prize. But it worked out. We did not have people, you know, we didn't have 30 people lined up on the back wall at 12:30 waiting to see if they won a door prize. So that went very, very well. Vendor comments were all, you know, really quite good. So... we had one vendor not show up, and we're still not, I still haven't heard back from them. And there have been a vendor, so I think something happened that day that they didn't make it. But otherwise, we had the most vendors, I think, that we've had since I've been here. So we managed to get everybody in, and yeah, so I thought it worked really, really well. And thank you for your help.
Yeah,
I do appreciate it.
And again, I would assume that there's a little, nice way to say this, but, you know, I don't think there's a lot of... Some of the return people probably aren't here to return, so
well, exactly.
We're picking up. Mm-hmm. So if 25 or 30 have passed, there's 25 or 30 or this year more,
right?
That are new and have that came.
Right,
that's a good thing. Yeah.
I definitely think there was newer people there too. I mean, there were some people I've seen there, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, I do think we had some newer people and newer vendors this year too, which was nice. We had a couple long-term vendors that didn't get in because They didn't get they didn't get their registrations in, and we were full up with new ones. So, you know, so I think they'll learn that lesson. You know, because we only have so much. And then Steve Braun did from Emergency Management did an emergency preparedness presentation too that was very well received too. I went in at the end of that and people were asking him a lot of questions and then we raffled or we didn't raffle off. I'm sorry. We gave that a door prize in there of an emergency disaster kit. So great. They got a nice kit to take home with them too. So, but that was, I think that was a nice timely issue. There'd been so much going on in the world between fires and hurricanes and flooding here.
And you're not handing out guns.
Yeah. I didn't hand out any guns.
Yeah. You did the building update?
Put that down for next year.
Did you shoot the water gun into some of those? Doesn't a balloon expand until it pops?
That's why we did pick a duck. I didn't want people throwing darts at balloons.
Anything different on the building update?
Nope, I think that's pretty much. Do you have anything, Dan, on it?
All right, the public hearing, 8521, transportation.
If you followed the bathroom saga on the second floor for the social services, they do have doors on their bathrooms now, if anybody is concerned about that. That the board did approve.
They had no bathrooms and no doors.
They had a labyrinth bathroom. So we just like you know, the...
A maze type of room.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be... There's
like doors. The rest of the world that is modernized has.
Right.
But it didn't go over well?
Step back.
It didn't go over well at all. There's been a lot of controversy over that, so the board did...
I kind of like them because I don't have to open the door after I wash my hands.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's bounds of material that say that is, you know, that you shouldn't have doors on it. Even from the security standpoint, somebody's going to barricade themselves in and yada yada, but...
Well, down south now, they've got this thing, I've run into it, where they have a little piece on the bottom of the door where you're supposed to open with your foot rather than use your hands. Check your bathroom door sometimes when you go out. And if you see a little piece of metal at the bottom, that's what that's supposed to be for, to open the door.
I've never had any real great interest in bathrooms myself.
It's crazy because then you got somebody... Yeah.
There's a question that came up too about handicap accessible. They're not going to be powered, so.
So wheelchairs are going to be banging into it.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
The labyrinth. It is. It is, I guess.
Fix one problem and get two more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are the public hearing 8521?
We do have to hold. I do have to hold a public hearing for the transportation grant. So but this is tentative. It should be in the papers next week. December 4th is what I'm thinking of. I did not write down the time, so I better tell you what time
is that
it was.
Here?
Yes, it will be here.
People ever show up for them?
I get one or two for the transportation one once in a while. Usually have a couple ladies in town. That 3:30 is what I have it on. I have a couple ladies that have showed up a couple of times to them, so we don't get a lot.
Are they wanting major change, or...?
No, actually, the ones that have come in the past have just wanted, you know, to make sure that we're continuing to offer the program, or the busing and the taxi, so that they use it, so they don't want it to go away.
Yeah, it's kind of an FYI.
We might get a few more since we've had less, obviously, with Randy's passing, we had some downtime where the buses weren't running, so now with Alex hired, we are back on track with that, but it's going to take a while to get kind of people back used to that, so there might be some comments regarding that. But.
All right, anything else there?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, number 7, aging.
I apologize, I tried to make this bigger and it didn't really happen. Steve, I can't see it, so you probably, maybe you got better eyes than me, I don't know. It's the aging allocations, and they really haven't changed when we did the, when we do the Grant County budget, we don't have the aging allocations yet, so we estimate them. So they're estimated still in the Grant County budget because that's already been approved and doesn't get changed at some point. But there's not a lot of big change to these, so, but you do have to approve these. Laura does want them approved. So in, I just gave you the summary. I didn't give you each sheet. So in Title 3B, that's used basically for our front desk help, our admin help, and some of my salary. What we get from GWAR is $50,644, and then we have a cash match of about, what is it? I can't even read this, I'm so blind today. Just about $7,000. So I will just kind of go through these and tell you what they are, and if you have any questions, you can let me know. So our congregate meals, we receive $153,271 from GWAR. And then we put, the county puts in about $75,000, a little over. And then we use the rest out of program income. For the home delivered meals, we only get $37,327 from GWAR. And the county puts in about $216,000. So I've been real vocal on that with participants. Because I think people need to know how much the county supports the nutrition program. That is not the case in a lot of different counties in Wisconsin. And so I like people, you know, when they're talking about different things and wanting this and wanting that, that I try to make sure that they know just how much taxpayer money is going into the program, and that we, you know, we are very grateful for that. And so we, you know, we can't afford to spend a lot more. Evidence, the Disease Prevention and Health Promotion Services, we get $4,409. We are hoping to get somebody trained in that. We just, if they would offer every local training that they've offered here that our staff could attend, they have canceled. I'm hoping to get somebody trained. That's what Mary Lou does with stepping on and...
We had one set up and
didn't get enough. Yeah.
Doesn't that have some overlap with the health department?
This one does not. I have talked to Jeff a little bit about it. We do it with in conjunction with Grant Regional, and we're trying to get the other hospitals on board too. The problem is the only money that you can spend out of this is evidence. It's got to be evidence-based programming. And so you have to have staff trained in it. Well, the trainings are few and far between.
I had to go to...
And they're 3 and 4 days. Well, my staff are young. They have families. So 3 or 4 days away from home is not real conducive to a young, you know, to a young mother. So it's just, they need to figure out a different way of providing that training. Because they're great programs. But
it's Stanford-based.
So. Yeah,
online training?
No.
That would be.
And there could be, because everybody that's gone tells me.
Well,
they
you
cut,
still have to demonstrate.
Yeah. They could
have
cut
to
down.
Physically
though.
Demonstrate.
Could
but
you do
yeah, if you
background
you
online
material,
and then just have a.
And then come in and
test
do
out,
a,
basically.
A demonstration to show that you
we've been
know how to run the program.
Mm-hmm. We've been discussing. I mean, it has been discussed, so it's just it's just one of those that it's a little bit. Annoying that we can't kind of get something else.
What
in
do
place.
They do different than the health department does?
I don't know. I don't think the health department provides a lot of training. They don't provide, like, these are workshops for people that say if you've got diabetes, you can come learn how to manage that in a 6-week class, where the health department doesn't provide that type of.
And the following one is a 7-week class. They come. You know, once a week for 7 weeks.
To my knowledge, the health department does more hands-on home services with people, but I don't believe that they offer any real training to the public.
But in the last class we did, we held it out at Orchard or out at Morningside, and we had one person from Morningside that attended. The rest of them were all community people that came again. And one of the person who was on at Morningside after the class was over really told me that she felt that program was more for community people, not people living in like a system.
And I would probably agree with that.
Because a lot of things we discuss about making a home safe, they can't change anything.
Right.
Reactive than the proactive, so this is more of a proactive.
And these classes don't need to be run by nurses as long as you're trained in the, you know.
Well, in fact, you're supposed to have either had a spouse or somebody in your family maybe that has some of those problems, or you yourself have a problem.
So the evidence base that's offered through that, or that we've offered through this in the past, is the stepping on class, which is a falls prevention, living well with diabetes, living well with chronic diseases. And then we do have a powerful tools for caregiving that we offer as well. So it's just a little frustrating because I oftentimes, you know, if I don't have anybody trained and we don't, and say the workshop gets canceled, then we can't always spend out that budget. And it's just because I can't use it for anything else. So, and I can only order so many supplies ahead of time. So.
We always talked if we could cut the number of classes down, but because it is Stanford.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. The whole program had to meet criteria. It's used across the country. It's not just here in Wisconsin.
Right.
It's used across the country.
And people always rave about it. But. So the Family Caregiver Support Program, we get $21,793 from GWAR, and we put in $13,000 for a total budget of $34,000. And I will tell you there was a mistake on our 2018 budget. I just caught it over the weekend. Nancy and I both looked at that budget so many times. And we actually had an extra number thrown in the retirement line item for the family caregiver. So we were actually, we had $10,000 more in there than we needed. And I just caught it on Saturday. It's just one of those things you look at, and then all of a sudden it stands out like, well, that's not right. So it's actually $34,000 in the original budget you saw. It was probably in at $40,000. So the good news was there was a $10,000 savings there. I was feeling pretty good about that until then I found out the highway department had like $100,000 savings somewhere, and I was like, wow, it just stole my thunder right out. So. But yeah, it was the retirement line item was supposed to be $1,210, and somehow a four got in the midst of that, so it was $12,000. We didn't catch it. The state, there is no state Alzheimer's. That is not one that is the AFCSP program that is offered through social services. We do not run that program. And then the State Elderly Benefit Services is our EBS program. That's what we have going on right now with Part D. That budget is $28,215, and the county puts in about $29,000 into that. Elder abuse is not funded through us, even though it's included in ours. That is funded through, or it is... The funding goes upstairs to social services. State Senior Community Services is, the budget is $9,702. We put that all in our home delivered meal program, and we have a cash match on that of just a little over $1,000. So that is the total, that is all of the GWAR allocations. So really, I mean, there's probably only maybe, if it's even a couple $1,000 difference than what we had, I don't even think it's probably that much. So the allocations didn't change a whole lot. But the good news is they didn't significantly go down either. So.
And this respite care, does that have to be in another, it's always in home, so it's just somebody who comes into the home.
In our family care, in our family caregiver program, we can do out of home. We do not have, because we don't have any adult daycare facilities here that we would utilize. It typically is all in home. But
does
we do
have an in-house home or respite?
No.
Nobody
care thing. Daycare?
We did actually have a situation this year where we had a caregiver that had to go out of state.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to bring up.
And we did provide some respite fund for that. They did get a nursing home to agree.
I think she got
that.
Him into Park Place, didn't
so,
she?
Yeah, I think
days?
We provided maybe okay. some respite for that. But typically, Greene County is the only one in our four counties, I think, that has an adult daycare where there's some of that kind of respite. But no, there's none in Grant County. Used to be a long time ago in basketball, but we don't have that. So most of the respite we provide is we contract with Home Care Select and provide it. We can provide, right now, we provide up to about 80 hours of respite for somebody that's enrolled in the caregiver program. It can go up to 80. The state allows, I think, 120, but, I mean, as you can see, they only give us $21,000, so we can't obviously do too much with that. But we do try to, you know, Ruth really tries to judge that and parcel it out as best we can so that people do have that available to them. Any other questions on the GWAR allocations?
We have to go with
that. We do need approval on that. They do want it approved.
I make a motion to approve it.
Vicki makes a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
All right, approval. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Pass. Sun program number 8.
I put that on the agenda because I do think it's something that we probably should be looking at every year. So, to give you a little bit of history, when I first came on board, Sun was getting meals from us in the Avoca area. They were purchasing meals from our Muscadine purchasing meals from us that were being delivered out of the Muscadine meal site. They do provide the volunteer drivers to pick up the meals and take them to people in Avoca, but they were purchasing our meals. And at the time, they were purchasing them at about $3.35, which was less than our suggested donation. So over the course of time with that, and as you know, we raised that reimbursement because our actual meal cost right now for a home-delivered meal is $9.52. Now, that includes the assessment, the volunteer drivers, and some other things. So when we negotiated that last year again with Cecile from the Sun program, we looked at about a $7.75 meal reimbursement because she has to still go out and do home-delivered assessments on these people. She has to provide the volunteer driving and the stipends for that sort of thing. So our meal cost right now is $9.52. We are doing a reimbursement for meals at $7.75. So, and our meal cost actually did come down a little bit. What I don't like about our meal cost tool is always based on the previous year. And I don't know, you know, it's great, but last year we didn't have much for gas, and, you know, gas prices were down, our food prices were down, so now our meal cost came down. And yet now gas is up at $2.59, and you know we've had hurricanes and different things that may affect different things as well. So I'm a little kind of concerned about that, and I think that's something we're going to look at for the future is if we can pad that a little bit. So do we want to stay with the $7.75? I have two concerns here. At a minimum, I think we need to stay at the $7.75, but. Now they are asking that we provide some meals out of Montfort for people in the Linden and Cobb area. It's nice when we can collaborate to meet people's needs, but at the same time, I think we have to be very careful because we're serving a lot of meals, and the coordination of that can sometimes be more of a pain for my meal set manager than anything.
Do they not have a site over in those other areas?
They do have a site in Linden, so I'm not sure why. And they have a site in Dodgeville, so I'm not sure why they can't provide those meals themselves.
Yeah, I guess that was my question. Volca, Linden, Cobb are all in Iowa County?
Yes.
Does Iowa County have an ADRC?
They have an ADRC. The Sun program, interestingly enough, their ADRC doesn't run their nutrition program. It is this Sun program. So the county contracts with this Sun program to run it.
The Iowa County?
Iowa County does, yes.
And again, without sounding mean, why would Grant County be servicing Iowa County residents?
Because we're nice people.
Like we serve Crawford County residents in Bonneville.
Yeah, and we can't, The way the regs are written, we have to be a little careful of that, because we can't, if somebody's got a Bosqueville address, the feds are kind of like, people can cross lines a little bit, but that's a little different when, you know, they live out a mile outside of the county, on, you know, and they still have a Bosqueville address, or they have a Blue River address.
These live
about
25 miles.
Well, some do. The regs don't let me do much with that. But in this case, you're right, yeah. I think the Avoca ones, it's just been, quite frankly, it's sort of supported, well, it supports it now because we get $7.75. It's supported our Muscadet a little bit stronger and the amount of meals going out. But we don't get credit for those meals. We don't get to report them on, you know, our database that we're providing them. They do the reporting on that. So we're just simply providing the meals. So. It's been a deal that's been in place for a very, very, very long time. Like I said, at the 3:35, I was a little bit livid when I came on board and saw that, because that doesn't make any sense. Now the expansion into the Montford area, I think I just think that's something that we need to consider, because to me, Dodgeville to Cobb isn't really very far.
No.
And Middle Point to Linden.
Yeah, it's not that far either.
Yeah.
So,
really don't have any business here.
Yeah.
Unless Iowa County is willing to reimburse us if we want to submit a claim to them and say, here's what you owe us, and they pay it.
Well, they
that
do.
That wouldn't work, I don't think.
I mean, they are paying the $7.70. Sun is paying the $7.75. Yes. Sun gets the funding here. Okay. Iowa County also does put in levy in it, too, because, the companies are required to offer these nutrition programs. But it's difficult because it's been kind of a one-sided, I think, benefit to Iowa County and not to us. To illustrate, we had a request for them. They had somebody who wanted a meal. I don't know if it was Linden or Cobb. But, you know, she wanted one meal here, and then she might want one meal here. Well, we're not going to do that. No. That's more, that's just, you know, either you put on meals and you take them, or, you know, we're not going, it's not delivery service where you can call in and we're going to have a meal today, but I'm not too, because that's just, to, you know. So, $7.75, I guess I'm comfortable with right now, just because our meal cost has been down. Although I am concerned about gas prices, but since we're not paying the gas on that, I guess we'd probably be okay. But do we want to limit, or do we want to phase out both sites? Do we want to tell them that?
Give them a fair notice that we need to talk about this. This is what we're thinking. Give them a couple, 3-4 months, whatever, to actually work something out on their own and say, you know what, we can't do this anymore, and just move forward.
Because if your meal cost is $9.50 and you're getting $7.75, you're losing $1.75 a meal.
And our
we in yes and no, Greg, but because the $9.52 includes the cost of Ruth going out and doing assessments. It includes the stipends to home delivered drivers. So I did account for a little bit of that, taking that out. There's not as much, she's just basically putting the meals together. So are we off? it's one of those, it's like I can't pinpoint exactly what the difference between the 952 and the 775 would be.
But again, I think we're saying Ruth is dedicating some time to
Iowa County versus
Iowa
County.
I think we still are. I think we still are.
But the whole program is service provided, not to make money.
Right. Right.
They don't make it. You know, like anything, our swimming pool and basketball costs us $85,000 a year to keep it running. You take in about 10.
Yeah.
So it's a service provided, but you hate to lose too much.
You know, what concerns me a little bit is, you know, the other day we got a call from a Richland County resident, and Richland County had told them to contact us about nutrition about Meals on Wheels. Because, as you know, Richland has got some financial difficulties, and this person's 5 miles out of Richland Center, and I'm like, no.
Go figure.
No, we can't do that.
Oh, thank you.
So I kind of feel, you know, it's not much different than this. I think, you know, we have to come up with ways to serve the people in Grant County, and Grant County's a big county.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they come back and tell you they can't do anything.
I bet they can, though. They have time.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
And they probably will, but if you give them a heads-up notice so they have some time and that you're serious.
I like the idea of giving them some lead time and
let them.
You need to work this out.
Is that a motion from Vicki?
Yes, it is. I make a motion that you give them a heads up. I don't know if I'm saying this right or anything, but tell them that we are working on adjusting this, that we can't keep supplying our Grant County employees taking care of Iowa County residents.
I'll second that.
Dan seconds that. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Passed. So you will take care of that?
Mm-hmm. I will.
To be continued.
But you will still provide to Montford, is that right?
We do provide, I mean, because we are in Montford, okay. Montford is still in Grant County. So you get just to the edge of it, and then it switches over.
Okay.
I mean, it concerns me because we have a lot of places in Grant County that are so rural that we can't get out to them with our own home-delivered meals.
Yeah.
So to say to somebody, I can't provide it to you because you live over here, but I'm providing it to,
Very true. Very true.
We actually have places we cannot provide?
We have lots of places in Grant County that we can't get meals and wheel drivers out. If you think about the size of this county, our routes would be, you know, we could have Meals on Wheels drivers starting at 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon trying to get meals out.
Mm-hmm.
What Ruth will do in those cases where we don't have routes that, you know, we try to work with somebody like, you know, if they can identify somebody that can come in and pick up the meals for them, or we can do some variety of frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't make that work, there are some mail delivery, like there's Mom's Meals. There are some places that do ship meals directly to someone's home. So yeah, there's no way. It's this is a big county and it's very rural.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we just don't have. There's just no way we have volunteers. One of the things that the state's touting as a great win up in north is this food truck that goes out to some of these rural areas. But again, they're only going out like once or twice a month. That doesn't solve anybody's nutrition. I mean,
you
only get hungry twice a month,
that's
I guess
right,
you're okay. So.
Okay, that take anything else with you?
Nope, that I think
takes
we'll be
care
good.
Of it. Okay, thanks, Vicki, for making that suggestion there. Number 9, INA specialist vacancy.
I did, and that's why we had the amended agenda, because I did get notice on Tuesday that Jessica Alt, who is an information and assistance specialist for us, has resigned. She's accepted a position in Platteville, where she lives as a transition care coordinator at Southwest Health.
That's why she didn't answer my email.
She has been out this week, so she was out yesterday. I was out Monday. She was out yesterday. So
so we need a motion.
So we do need a motion. Yes, and typically what we do in the case of a vacancy is I try to make sure that we actually need to fill the vacancy. But our contact numbers have been extremely high. Yes, we really do need to fill this. As you know, well, as Mary Lou would know, Steve would know, back in 2013, we actually had more INA. And then I took one out when we had a vacancy then. We didn't replace that one. But we really do need to replace her. Our contacts are just at such a high number right now, we couldn't do it with two.
Do you have a reason as to why we're having more contacts?
Well, hopefully in some of our marketing campaign that people are getting to know us. I think the state's been a little ambitious, too. I think a lot of it is, when we ask people how they know about us, a lot of it's word of mouth. So I
have seen ads on television. Mm-hmm.
I do like to think that, you know, we are just, you know, I have people come up to me all the time and point out staff and say, you know, I don't know what I would have done without Leisha or Nicole or Jess coming and talking to us. So I do think a lot of it's word of mouth, but it's also...
And our population is getting older.
I was just going to say, living longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting more needs. Yeah.
And they're wanting to stay at home.
Yeah.
You know, the mentality is not, well, it's time for me to go into a nursing home now. The mentality is...
Stay at home.
How do I get at home? Yeah. How do I stay at home? What do I need to do for that? So.
Just a little sidebar. I took my granddaughter to the college that she was going to go to in La Crosse the other day and then took her out for breakfast afterwards. And she looked at me and she says, Grandma, when are you and Grandpa moving into the nursing home? I'm going like, what is this? Are you on my house or what is this? I don't know. But, you know, it is something to watch these younger kids think as their grandparents are. Mm-hmm. Some of their friends, grandparents, probably are going into the nursing home, you know. Mm-hmm. But I thought to myself, whoa.
I'm not quite ready for that.
But, yeah, interesting. Because they do want to stay home.
Our numbers have definitely, I think they've increased. And partly of it is that we definitely have a better tracking system, but I do think we are making progress with marketing, even though, again, there is some of that. People don't look for us until they need us, And I think there's always going to be that, because it's a lot easier to put blinders on and think there's nothing wrong with my parents, they're fine.
Take it from me.
it's been crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I will see now... We'll have a lull over the holidays, which is actually, I kind of appreciate Jess doing this the way she did, because we do, you know, the month of December we are not as busy because people are focusing on other things. But once people come home and visit,
they're realizing,
get a dose of reality of what their parents' lives are like. We often get calls back in January and we start ramping up again because people get concerned that mom's not eating or, you know, she's getting pretty forgetful. So, yeah, that's when we usually get calls back. Yes. So
does someone want to make a motion to for Lori to fill that position?
I'll make a motion to fill that position.
I'll second it.
Certainly.
Dave and Vicki?
Got the numbers to justify it.
Yeah, we really do.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed say no. Passed. Approval of vouchers.
Have anything out of the ordinary too much, do we?
I don't think so. This is the Platteville bus.
The Platteville bus expenses. That will be ending. We did provide some service to Platteville, some grant monies to Platteville. Provide transportation to the meal site, which was something that John and I had worked out. Unfortunately, they traded in their bus for a van that's not handicap accessible.
Whoa.
And I didn't know it. Till after the fact. So I have had a conversation with John. Unfortunately, didn't think that meant the intentions of our grant then, because DOT does require it to be accessible. And so I contacted DOT to make sure that I was interpreting that right, and John Twistler said yes, he would have interpreted it the same way. So we will not be able to provide funding anymore for that this year, which was unfortunate, because we do have some people, I think, complaining that that bus is, that or that the new van is not accessible, and they have trouble getting in and out of it, which I understand, because I'm short and I have trouble getting in and out of the van sometimes. So, so John and I are going to meet, so we may be looking at, see if there's something else we can do, but I wish you'd have contacted me prior to turning the bus in.
I'll make a motion to approve the bus.
Steve made a motion to approve. Very exciting. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Passed. Number 11, financial report.
Yeah, I think we're fairly on track. We did bring in some LTE help for Part D with Marcia having been off. I have hired Carol Felstead, who used to work here. She's retired. She retired a few years back from here to help us out, and that's been very beneficial because we've been able to be getting more of the mail in. But I think we're still staying on. I think we're still okay on that. So we'll be okay. Other than that, we just need to spend out. We're trying to spend out ADRC as much as we can. We always have a little bit of surplus in ADRC. That will probably go away this next year because we're going to charge some admin costs to it. Nancy and I worked that out so we can charge to recoup some of the admin for the county. We can charge that out to this next year's grant, so that'll be in there. We had not done that previously. I'm not sure how that all works out, but anyway, Nancy has got it worked out, so we can do it now. So that will get some of our extra costs out of there. With the new wage schedule and things like that, the budget will be getting a little bit tighter. But we do have some leeway in that budget, so I'm trying to get out what I can for expenses in terms of, like, if there's things that we can use in the building. I'm looking at some, like a conference smart screen or something that we would like to have. So if we can get it out of here, because the ADRC budget does not have any levy.
You did tell me it'll be looped, right?
There will be a hearing loop, yeah. We do have to have the waiting room loop. That will be the case. I can't purchase that ahead of time, though, because I have, in order to have purchase something for ADRC, I have to have it in here by the end of the year. So I'm trying to get some of that stuff out of there. Anything I can buy ahead of time, I will. So we had talked about that. So it's not, because no levy's in that, I really, that's just kind of a regional budget, so that I kind of negotiate that with Mary. But
I'd just like to go on record again and commend you, Lori, for how you do your budgets, the fact that you do put materials that are going to be expenses in the ADRC budget. And it's kind of, anybody that's not following me real close here, it's hard to believe, but there's only two other departments in the county that do a budget as I would consider a budget to be done. The rest of them go to something called public property and expand out their expenses through them.
So like if they need computers or something.
Computers, if you need a squad car, if you need bars for the squad cars, if you need rifles for the... They don't put it in their budget. They go to allocate it out of Candyland or whatever you might call it in this public property, which for now, for the last 12 hours, is no longer exists. But there's, who knows if it'll stay non-existent. But at any rate, I appreciate the fact that you do things as I would consider them to be done. right?
Well, and that's just...
That's out of, you know,
I would say it'd be difficult to follow otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, my heavens. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a hide-and-go-seek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the department, the committees of those departments, what are they... You know, I said I would assume it probably takes them close to 3 minutes to do their budget, because anything I'm going to expense out, I'm going to go to public property for, so I don't have to do anything with that. I can just...
Wow.
Ditto the last year's and turn the page, and I'm down with budgets, Nancy. I'm good. And so anyway,
we have budget meetings tonight, and I know it'll be 3 hours.
Well, and I think that's good, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't, when I first came here, I didn't even understand, I didn't even know that there was a public property. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's the same as miscellaneous.
My whole background has been working with grant-funded programs, and you...
I never got it.
You have to take out of your grants.
Right, yeah. You know what amazes me, though, is when my department's down there put their budgets together, they'll ask for $15,000 or $20,000 additional money, and they think there's this great big checkbook in the sky that just comes out there. So I always have to say, what department do you want me to take this away from? Yeah. And they can't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, where's it going to come from, you know?
And that's why I try to, even with participants for like the meals, I try to impress upon the fact that how much taxpayer money is going into that, because they don't see that. They think they're making that donation sometimes. And a lot, and I'm not saying that all, you know, but it's just they need that awareness that, I mean, they were shocked at the nutrition advisory when I showed them how much taxpayer money goes into keeping that program everywhere. Yeah. Then they're like, oh my gosh. I'm like, our county is very, very supportive, but with that comes some responsibility well. So yeah, I am trying to get as much out of that ADRC budget, because it is a regional budget, so there is a little, touch and go there in terms of the other counties as well. So I want to make sure that we can get as much out of there as possible ahead of time. But obviously, I can't order things that I know we're not going to use for another year either. So if it's something that we could use now, we could get some of that out of there. So trying to. We just got a new computer for the front, because that was in our budget for ADRC. So
when you get a computer like that, do the programs you need all come with it, or do you have to go buy those separately? I just, you know, it just seems when you go buy a computer now, they're cheap. But then you start buying programs.
And some of them, a lot of them, you can't get that on. The county has, they have licenses with Microsoft and things like that, so they can get more of a bulk thing. So, yeah, when we buy it through IT, it comes with everything, basically, that we need on it. So, and the databases that we use are all through the state, so they're a web-based database. So, but the Microsoft Office, the Excel, all of that comes. I'm assuming they get some kind of a discounted rating.
It's like education. School districts.
We need a motion for the financial report.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
I'll second. Sorry. No problem.
Any further discussion?
Well, just a quick question. How has the IT support, I mean, has everything been working well since
we have had that? We actually do have pretty good IT support in terms of if I've got an issue out here that needs to be with a computer.
Wasn't it a electrical issue?
We still have that.
So
the wrecking ball will take care of that.
I just hope that the new one.
I really think it's, if you still run the printers in here, if you run an individual printer, the lights are flickering terribly.
How's your?
But we try to keep.
Are you being able to stay online?
We haven't had. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, every once in a while, maybe you disconnect, but then it usually comes right back.
Not the issues that we did have.
It was 6 months ago.
Yeah, we've definitely improved on that, I would say.
We brought the line energy people in and did some things that helped.
But still, I think it's just old electricity, you know, and old wiring. And so right now, because of Part D, we do have to have some of our Part D people run their own printers, because otherwise they've got people in their office and they're having to run back and forth. So I've told them they can have their printers on. Most everybody else has been told to keep their printers off and use the main printer because it keeps the lights from flickering. So it's been, Yeah.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Passed.
And I did not do a formal report today, so I will just kind of let you know. Life has been extremely busy the last month there, and I apologize. I was off on a doctor's appointment Monday, so I didn't have much time. We did Elder Fest, always a major event. Staff were great getting that ready, but it takes a lot of work to pull off that. I feel like it's like we're offering a big wedding every year. So. And not only did we have Elder Fest, but then we had a caregiver renewal day and a regional site manager's training all in a week's time. Caregiver renewal day, we had, I think we had close to 24 people for that. That was last Friday, so a week from our other events. And then we had a regional site manager training on Thursday that we had to participate and host too. So the regional site manager, the caregiver renewals day, we had Dr. Mark Rubel come from Family Resource Center. He did a little piece on compassion fatigue, how you need to take care of yourself as a caregiver in order to provide care for others, Vicki. I am fine at all.
So true.
He did a nice job, and people were very receptive and wanted to hear him speak again and maybe longer, so we'll keep that in mind. Then we did a little craft activity because part of the day is supposed to just really be kind of a relaxation day. We provide a meal, we provide some training to them. We did a little craft activity that just about kills me every year trying to come up with something that people could do.
Where was this?
We just did it. We did it in Plattville. And we had 24 people invited and signed up to come. I think a couple of them didn't. We did it in collaboration with Iowa County and Lafayette. Lafayette, I think, had no one, but Iowa County had five. So it was a really nice day. People, everybody that I talked to that walked out the door just felt very relaxed, had a nice day. And that's really the whole point of it, is just to kind of give people a respite from their everyday lives, because they're all caregivers and they work really hard. So it turned out really well. On Thursday, we did a regional meal site manager's training. It's something the state requires every year. We were kind of in charge of it this year, and if you'll see on the finance report, you will see a nutrition conference revenue and expense on our financials, because we did the fiscal piece of it, so we will be wrapping that up. We still need to get money in from some people, and then we've got some expenses that we'll need to pay out. It will not cost us anything other than we kind of donate our time to it, but I don't think it's been too unmanageable yet. So, and then the state will cover if there's any expenses over and above what we pull in. The state will cover that. The regional site manager's training had just a number of different things. Mostly went over regulations and things like that. You never can get enough of the nutrition regs. And every year we're still amazed by people who are like, don't understand them, so or not implementing. See you later. Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll talk.
Thanks. Yes.
They didn't eat well. Some things on eating well. What else did they do? They did some networking. It was a lot. It was a long day. What else? Budgets, obviously, we've been working on. Part D has been going very, very well. We did a mailing out when we knew that that Marcia wasn't going to be back right away. She was on leave for some time. So we did a mailing out to all our past Part D customers, asking them to mail in something I've been wanting to get going since I've been here, doing more mail-in. And we got a very, very good response to that. So we've gotten a lot of mail-ins, so they're processing that. Carol is kind of the LTE that is helping entering all those into the computer system and getting those out. So Part D will be ending mid December, but there's usually a little carryover from that. So we've had a lot of people in the office. As you said, it was the parking lot was busy, so we've been quite busy with that.
Find a hole to tie up.
We have. We've been quite busy with that. So let me see if there's anything else. It's just been end-of-year reporting. It's been end-of-year or transportation reporting. I do have transportation grants that I have to get finished up. I have requested that this silver vehicle that's been sitting out here since I came be disposed of, but the state's had the request now for, like, months. So I'm trying to figure out why they haven't disposed of it since it doesn't run and I'd like it off the property. It's ours.
Oh.
But I don't know. They're just kind of dragging their feet on it. So,
go to the dump on the other side of the road.
Does it not run?
It doesn't. We had originally had it fixed, and it started having transmission problems, and it's just not. It wasn't even worth fixing. So, it had so much rust and other issues with it that I just asked to dispose of it. I think we are going to possibly ask to dispose of another bus. That's something we'll talk about after the first of the year, I think, too. But because we've got a bus that doesn't have an accessible lift in it anymore, and it's got issues, and I'd like to pare down our vehicles.
You know, that makes me think about Platinum over there. If they don't have a lift, how do they handle those people?
John had told me that they would use the taxi if they had somebody that really couldn't use it, but I don't know that that is happening. And DOT's point, which I kind of found interesting, the DOT did not consider the taxi as an accessible alternative, is what John at DOT told me.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I mean, our taxis are, ours are, but that's not ours over there. I think the main issue is that you can't count on that taxi to be there to get people to lunch. They might be busy. They might, you know, it's not dedicated to that. So, we are going to have a meeting. There's been a lot of issues with the move to OE Gray, which, you know, that just happens everywhere. You move a big site and some people are going to be real happy and some aren't going to be real happy and things aren't going to work well. We did, you know, you are going to see some expenses in here. We had numerous plumbing issues with different things. But there again, it's an old building, and when you deal with plumbing in an old building, there's always issues. So we are going to meet and go through some of that. But we do have some unhappy people. The busing is one issue of it in terms of getting to the meal site. A lot of them, some like the site, some don't. They had their open house on the day of our Elder Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't know about either. So we have some communication issues that need to be resolved there. I mean, the senior center is separate from our meal site. We happen to co-locate, but they are two different things. But I wish we would have known about that and had a little input as to how that was going to work.
I remember I talked to you, I speak at the Toughness Center twice a year, and you said to ask the people what services that would be, and the answer unanimously was taxi service, because the county one is only there on certain times, and they said they thought somebody could stay really busy, people that need rides,
and
they don't have that. And that was what, other than that, everything was good, but that was the one thing that they thought they could use.
Okay. I will look at, I'll look at the numbers. I mean, John does stay busy down there. And I know our numbers in Dodgeville are increasing too. Everybody will be happy to hear that.
I mean, whether we had one down there more often or somebody else did it on their own or whatever.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the answer is, but that's what their wishes were.
Okay. Because if a private carrier does come in, then we probably will have to pull out, because I think we can only offer it in areas where there's not already a private taxi service. That's why we can't.
So how does our taxi work now? They're busy every day somewhere.
Tuesdays and Thursdays they are in Lancaster, and then Wednesdays and Fridays they are Fenimore Basketball.
Oh, okay.
We don't operate on Mondays yet.
Okay.
And haven't. Okay. And the reason for that is if we added Mondays, then we'd probably have to take on a second taxi driver, because Monday through Tuesday through Friday, John's hours still end up to be anywhere from like 34 to maybe 37. Mm-hmm.
Do we make any money on taxis, or is it a service provider?
We don't make money at it, but it's not bad. I mean, there is some levy that goes into it. I'd have to go back and look. I'll get back to you on that. We do not put any levy into the Dodgeville taxi at all. That's all grant funded. But we are going to have to ask for an increase in county and city in Dodgeville because of our wage increase. It increased our driver's pay quite a bit, and then we are charging admin to that. So they're either going to have to increase their pay, or I'm going to pull back on the amount of time spent there.
Well, Platteville's got 3 minibuses, don't they?
Platteville has, yes. Yeah. Now, that is not part of us at all. Platteville has their own system.
Oh.
And they operate with their shuttles and their buses and then in taxi. And I don't know much about that, but I know we couldn't go into Platteville because they already have a taxi operating.
I asked a senior citizen the other day about the new senior center. And always says, I like it. And he says, I ride the bus. I don't know. Do they have a volunteer they have to pay to? Or
and they don't have the bus now. Now they have this van.
Yeah.
So, but that's something they have always just run out of their senior center. And they just provided the funding for it. However, since their budget got cut, they didn't have as much to run that transportation. So they had come to us and said, you know, is there any way you could help us with transportation? So when we looked at it for this year, I said, well, potentially we could use our 85-21 and pay for part of that. And we were able to do some of that. But now that they've gotten rid of the bus and gone to the van, it's not accessible and I can't do that. So. It was a win-win for us because we obviously wanted to get participants to the nutrition, site for meals, but it just doesn't work. And we had pulled back in a lot of our 85-21. 85-21 used to have one full-time bus driver and then one part-time bus driver. And with all the changes we've had, I only have one full-time bus driver going now because we just didn't have that many passengers.
So is ADRC's stance on this that they would rather have a private person take care of a whole city and we pull out because of less, or we would rather do more?
It's based on the DOT funding. It's just based on how much money. The funding is set by the feds and the state. We don't get to ask for more.
Right.
I never actually knew that the areas that selected could only be selected because there weren't existing taxi services in there. That came out in a conversation I had with DOT not too long ago. So I never really kind of knew how we had our areas selected, but that was the reason why. They have to be, I think, a population of so much. I think they have to be over... I think they have to be over 2,000 and then not have an existing taxi service. So that's something that we could look into. I'd have to see how, if we had the funding. My concern would be is we'd have to probably put on another taxi driver and then we'd have to probably have levy, and I don't know that we can pull that off.
Sure.
But we can look at it.
Lori, does the Iowa County, the Dodgeville, the Iowa County taxi that's ours that service that area, does that go anywhere besides Dodgeville?
No.
Just this?
Stays in Dodgeville 2 days.
County seat has a...
there's been requests for a couple of years. Every once in a while I get a phone call asking us to expand, and I've told them straight out that they need to go back and talk to the county about that, because we are going to do that.
That's really something. Yeah. I know, I get to Dodgeville evidently fairly often, and I see it. I marvel at it, and then, but I've never seen it in Mineral Point or anywhere else in Iowa County, just in Dodgeville.
And Iowa County did apply to the DOT for a van, I believe, to provide some transportation in the Mineral Point area and outside of Dodgeville. It's not through the 5311, which is what we use to operate the taxi. A 5310 vehicle is just, you get basically the vehicle, pretty much 80% of a vehicle covered, and then they were going to use some existing monies. But they know my feeling on that, and I mean, with everything that's happened, and I think it was discussed here, the intent is to let them know that, you know, we aren't probably going to keep that vehicle in Iowa County forever. So they need to either apply for their own funding for it. But they do have to have a year out in order to do that. So they have to notify the DOT that they're going to apply for grant funding.
That's a pretty sweet deal for Dodge.
Yeah.
Won't go anywhere else in their county, but...
It's, again, I don't know how it happened. I the only thing that I can think of is there was a time period maybe when it was easier to get grant money in order.
They wanted you collaborating.
Collaborating.
That
but
was their big word. Yes.
But I haven't got to the...
nitty-gritty part.
I still can't quite figure out what was in it for us.
Yeah, and I guess the logical thing then, well, why not Darlington? Why don't we have one in Darlington? Why don't we have one in
Steve mentioned that, you know, there was mentioned that there's a bigger need in Boscobel. If a private concern goes in there, can they be subsidized at all to help hold the cost down for the elder?
I believe they can. I think they can apply for some 5311 operating expenses as well.
They'd have to do it on their own, not through you?
No, it wouldn't be through us, I don't think.
Okay.
I'll ask that question. The 5311 program is still a little bit of an enigma to me. There are still some questions I have with it. And so maybe I can even get someone out here to maybe attend a board meeting just to see if they could answer some of those questions. I have asked, the problem you get with, there's been a lot of turnover at DOT, so you get one person to say something and then they leave, and then the next person says, I don't really interpret that the same way.
Yeah, we interpret some rules differently.
Yeah. DNR is even worse yet.
So
then we call somebody different.
I specifically asked because I was wondering, so we put 11,000, so we get a 5311 grant, that's about 50 some thousand. I was going to say, what do we have beeping up there? 32,000 of that goes into our taxi program. There's an 11,000, like 11,400 goes into the Dodgeville taxi program. So I have asked if that money goes back to us if we give up the Dodgeville. Like, does that 11,000 that is going into that, is that our money? Or is it allocated to Iowa County? You know, like, is it part of... And I haven't got... From what I understand, it's not really, but I haven't got a clear answer on that.
Well, again,
because I want to know, if we can use that 11,000 for our taxi program, then we should be...
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. By the same token, if you're having to spend more than 5 minutes a week on dealing with Iowa County's issues, I think you've got enough to do in Grant County that I don't necessarily think you need to be spending part of your work day messing around with this.
And I think that already, I think that we've already discussed that in a past meeting and made a motion on that.
When they set that up with Iowa County, I'm trying to remember if that was a criteria for helping to get a car or van or whatever, because you showed collaboration with another entity.
Yeah. You got goody points for it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been. I just, for some reason, I seem to think there was something in that when they looked at.
Well, my intent, and I think I'm right on it, I think we already... in the budget we already talked. My intent was to tell them, you know, that if they want to keep running this out, they need to probably be applying for the 5311 grant, notifying the state of the intent. All they got to do is send a letter of the intent to apply next year, which isn't till next December, because that's what the state requires. Essentially saying, we're giving you a year, you know. But the other thing is they have put in $2,684 has been what the city county the money given to us has been. In the new budget, it's $49,000. Wow. I would send Tom right over the edge if I could. it's $4,900 versus the $2,600. So, we're not going to subsidize it. So it's either going to be that we'll cut hours or cut days. We will identify certain days that we won't run there, or they have to come up with more money in order for us to do it. Because there again, it's not ever had any levy put in, and I'm not going to start. So, well, why we wouldn't?
Yeah.
So they've got to do it. So, but no, my intent is, in fact, it was on my schedule this week, is to sit down, and let Tom know that this is how it's going to have to go. He's aware of it. It's not like we haven't had numerous discussions since I've been here about it. They've just been hesitant to do it because.
Oh, why would they?
Why? If I could get somebody to run a couple nutrition sites for me, I'd do it. Or, taxi somewhere. Yeah, it's a good deal.
How many years have you supported the Iowa? How long?
I've been here since 2013, and Mary Lou's been here longer, so it's definitely been here since 2013, and I think it's before.
Yeah, maybe 2-3 years before that. But I'm if I remember right, there was a criteria in there, and I think that's why they picked up doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It's always been an interesting.
Anything else to come with that? Yeah.
I think that would be my report.
I just have one question on these voucher things for our meal sites. Is that talk going anywhere at the state or any place else, as we discussed? No, I can tell by the way.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Sarah will come down here, though. Maybe I will talk to her. She's been wanting to come down anyway. Maybe she would come down and visit a meal site and come to a board meeting on the same day. That might be beneficial to have her listen to, why can't this work in more places? I just think we're going to have to try it somewhere. The other thing is, with the strategic plan, I did think we should take a look at it in with that, and if we make it part of our strategic plan, if we think that's the way to go, then that we can push, maybe have a little more push in the state.
So if she comes down.
Because my biggest thing is we serve a lot of meals. I've given you numbers in the past about so we need to be careful. We're always looking to make our sites be more and more. But we also have to look at in terms of how much taxpayer money, because we're not getting more money from anywhere else. So we've got to be, I think part of the strategic plan has to decide, number one, are we going to keep all 10 meal sites? And number two, what's the funding going to be? Like how much is the county willing to support there?
I think you got meal site, took a little bit of a hit Friday when Dorothy passed away.
And those, that's happened. We've had, Platteville has lost several. I mean, it just.
Yeah.
Blue River just gets smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm. And not really picking up any.
We've got some home delivered that are, in their 90s, so it's.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I wanted to kind of look at it from a strategic plan point of view, because while we, we worry about some of the meal sites not getting enough, but at some point we also have to look at, you know, the money that we get from the state and the feds is not increasing. So there has to be somewhere of a, you know, we, as a board, I think we have to decide, you know, or is 212,000 or whatever, how much we're going to put in, or...
But, you know, if I could go to Carla's Kitchen with the voucher versus going to our, where our meal site is, you may get more of those people on the fringe that don't want to go to where our meal site is, particularly, but...
And then we'll also...
use the program.
Then we might also lose some that are more comfortable going to the meal site than going
to... Yeah, I just talked to somebody the other day, and I thought they told me down here there's maybe two that regularly come. But they have a lot.
Is there a number that if you get so far below that you have to close the site?
No, it's based... It's up to the county.
But have a lot of home delivered, right?
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah, if you... I mean, our obviously... Our home delivery numbers are increasing all the time. You know, the good news about our home delivered is that a fair amount of that is paid for by family care. So those are reimbursed at full reimbursement when they come from family care. So we're providing that, but we're getting the total amount. So, yeah. One of the things that we have to do for the state now that you'll see next year is we have to split out the congregate and the home-delivered meals entirely. There'll be two different budgets in here for that because the state wants it that way, so Nancy and I will be working on that. So I think that'll give you a clear view of where that money kind of is going to. The whole reason I wanted the strategic plan is because, number one, I think we always... opt like we're not serving enough people, and Grant County is huge. It's huge. But when you look at the amount of money and the amount of meals being provided in other counties, we are significantly higher, which I think is really great. I'm very happy that our county is so supportive of that. But I also know that county budgets are, you know, we're not getting asked to, you know, here's more money, go out and spend it. So I think that's why we need a plan for that down the line. Do we keep some of our smaller sites open, or do we try to find that alternative? And where we might need the alternative, it's got to be a site that's willing to not only offer the type of nutrition programming that we need, because it has to be so much. They have to allow our nutrition program or nutritionist to come in. There gets some little food inspection issues there too that I can see a restaurant going.
Even at the hospital, like in Boscobel or the hospital in Lancaster, have a pretty nice cafeteria where I'm sure they must meet the nutritional standards. Yeah. I mean, some of that's already being done.
Yeah, that's why I think it will be good for a small group to really take a look at our numbers, and I really want them to compare them, the numbers to the state, and even in our region. Greene County, you know, like, Greene County is a fairly good-sized county in our region. They kind of compare to us on INA stuff and all of that, and yet they have three meal sites.
Three?
And they don't
make the motion to adjourn.
And they put in very little fluffy. So I think those are things that...
Well, you know, and again, they're going back to a lot of our communities have a Subway, and you tell me that they couldn't have a Subway sandwich that meets the criteria, that doesn't have to have God and everybody inspecting the facility, and just if you want to get the county sub, get it.
Yeah. Not right now the way it's written.
Yeah, and maybe that's something we should have our legislative people take a look at too, and try to get some
bureaucracy
and regulatory stuff out of that.
So I think we have this perception that we're always like we're not doing enough in serving meals, and yet I think we're doing actually realistically pretty well, and the county does contribute a lot. So I think we just have to figure out where we're going to get the best bang for our buck and how do we do that. And my concern for the future is those home delivered that are going to need it, that are out in the middle of nowhere that we were talking about. Those are the ones that I'm concerned about, because we don't have a system for that. You cannot possibly get enough volunteers to go out in. I mean, there are still sections of Grant County I haven't been in, and you know, that's where my concern lies, is how do we get those people that are probably going to need it?
The volunteers will be getting fewer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are now, and they're getting older because, you know, people don't retire at 65, and they just don't. They're not only did some of them financially can't afford it, but some of them just don't want to, and that's just the way it is. So you lose your pool of volunteers out. Because if you look, all of our volunteers, we don't have too many volunteers in their late 50s or early 60s, really. Most of them are in their 70s. So.
Okay, anything else to come before us? Have any words of wisdom for us?
No, I'm sure you shared enough words of wisdom.
Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Arlo makes a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Second by Dan, all in favor, we're out.
Aye. Until December 20th?
Passed.
Yes. Now, we have not typically always done a December meeting. I doubt that we will unless something comes up.
Call the chair.
Okay.
Yeah. Follow the chair.
Okay.
We don't. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Typically, we haven't done one, so I don't think we'll have anything that necessarily we need to. Do you have that on or off?